that the shop was simply a government front which channeled warpstone from outside the city to the Skaven in payment for their services. He smiled. It was an arrangement with a certain pleasing symmetry. He paid the Skaven in the currency they wanted. They did not seem to realise it was both useless and dangerous. Warpstone actually caused mutation. The Skaven claimed to use it as food. Well, it was a relatively harmless way of disposing of an incredibly dangerous substance, and it provided him with a fine source of information at the same time. Yes, a pleasing symmetry indeed. In a way, it was a pity that he could not make known the service he was doing the Empire by disposing of the evil stuff in a safe way. It had been a lucky day for all mankind when von Hallstatt had got lost in the sewers and stumbled across the Skaven. It was fortunate they had recognised him as a man with whom they could do business. He must get some more. This very evening he must contact another Skaven agent and see to it that the watchman met with an accident. He was sorry to have to do that to men who were only doing their duty, but his security must come first. He was the only man who understood the real dangers threatening Nuln, and he was the only man who could save the city. He knew this wasn't simple vanity. It was the truth. Tonight he would contact the new Skaven leader, Grey Seer Thankwall, and order him to eliminate his enemies. The thought of this secret use of his power made him shiver. He told himself it was not with pleasure.
"I'm telling you, I saw him last night," Felix insisted.
The other sewer jack stared at him out of the gloom. Overhead, he heard the thunder of wheels as a cart passed over a manhole cover.
"At the Golden Hammer. He was standing not 20 feet away from me. His name is Fritz von Hallstatt, and he's the man we saw dealing with the Skaven."
"Sure," Rudy said, glancing back worriedly. "And he was having dinner with the Countess Emmanuel and the Enchanter Drachenfels. What were you doing in the Golden Hammer, anyway? It's where knobs go. They wouldn't let a sewer jack in if his clothes were made of spun gold. You don't expect us to believe you were there."
"My brother took me. He's a merchant. And I'm telling you, that's where I saw our man, von Hallstatt."
"You're not from Nuln, are you, young Felix?" Hef spoke calmly and helpfully, as if he were genuinely concerned with clearing up any misapprehension the young sewer jack might have.
"Do you know who Fritz von Hallstatt is?" "The head of the Nuln secret police is who he is. The scourge of mutant scum in this city," Spider said.
A tick moved somewhere far back in the twins' jaw. Felix had not realised the twins were such great admirers of von Hallstatt's.
"And the head of the secret police don't go about consorting with rat men."
"Why not?"
"Because he's the head of the secret police, and the head of the secret police wouldn't do that sort of thing. It stands to reason, doesn't it?"
"Well, that is irrefutable logic, Rudy. But I'm telling you, I saw him with my own eyes. It was the man from the sewers."
"You sure you're not mistaken, Manling? It was very dark down there, and human eyesight is not good in the dark."
"I'm certain," said Felix. "I've never been more certain of anything in my life." "Well, young Felix, even if you're right, and I'm not saying that you are, mind, what can we do about it? We can hardly go marching up to the Countess Emmanuel and say, 'Oh, by the way, Your Majesty, did you know your most trusted advisor has been sneaking around the sewers below your palace in the company of giant talking rats?'"
Hef didn't even smile as he said this.
"She'd ask you how much weird root you've been chewing and order a Kislevite lover to throw you in the cells," Spider said.
Felix could see their point. What could they do? They were just ordinary watchmen, and the man he was talking about was the most powerful person in the city. Perhaps it would be best just to forget the whole thing. He was seeing Otto again this evening, was going to have a fine meal in his townhouse. Soon he could be far from here, and it wasn't his problem. But the thought nagged at him. What was the terrible and feared master of the Countess's secret police doing in the company of Skaven? What hold could they possibly have over him?
"Right, lads, enough of this," Rudy said. "Back to work."
Host leader Zarkuel Scab looked back at his storm vermin. They filled this tunnel chamber, and the smell of their musk was sweet. His heart swelled with something akin to pride. These were big, burly Skaven, and their black fur was sleek and well-groomed. It matched their fine lacquered black armour and their rune-encrusted helms of black iron. They were elite. Well-fed, well-turned-out, disciplined, as far above the lowly clan rats and slaves as he was above them. He commanded 24 of the finest warriors his clan could field. In the coming war, this would be swelled to 200 or more. He did not need the full force for this mission. This was simple. The elimination of some pink flesh man-things. Easy. Gracia Thankwell had made it plain it would be so. Even though he didn't like Screequal's replacement, he agreed. He doubted he would even need 4 claws of storm vermin to deal with some lowly man-thing warriors. Behind him, Thankwell gave a discreet little bark of impatience. The rat ogre which accompanied the sorcerer rumbled angrily. A little shimmer of fear passed through Zarquel when he contemplated the giant hybrid's formidable muscles and claws. He would not want to face it in battle. It must have cost the Grey Seer a fair stash of warpstone to purchase from the packmasters of Clan Mulder, and, from what Zarquel had heard, it would prove worth every ounce. Yet he would not let himself be hurried. There were certain proprieties to be observed. He must keep face in front of his troops. He allowed none of his anxiety to show in his bearing, and he controlled the urge to squirt the musk of fear. He twitched his nose authoritatively, and then lashed his tail to get their attention. 24 pairs of alert pink eyes turned to look at him.
"We go to the big stink below the man-city," he told them. "We go to kill 5 man-things who guard the tunnels. They are enemies of our clan lord, and have killed dead a clan brother, yes. Vengeance and man-blood will be ours. Fight well, and more breeders and more warp tokens will be yours. Fight badly, and I will chew your guts with my own fangs. We hear, host leader,"
they squeaked thunderously.
"Glory to the clan! Vengeance for our clan brother! Yes, yes, blood vengeance for our clan brother!"
Zarquel smiled, revealing row on row of sharp, serrated teeth. In Skaven, it was a gesture of menace, and his followers fell silent. He was pleased by the fear he had imposed on them. Yes, he wanted vengeance for Screequal. They had belonged to the same birthing, had fought their way to the top of their clan together, had connived and killed and assassinated their way to power. He understood his brother's ambitions, and insofar as he trusted anybody, he had trusted Screequal. He wanted the blood of his killers. It would in some way make up for the inconvenience of having to find another ally in the great game of clan politics. Perhaps Thankwell might do, if the Grey Seer didn't attempt to slip a saw knife into his back first. Well, only the future would tell. He covered his teeth once more, and the storm vermin relaxed. He was looking forward to visiting the Undercity once more. He liked slinking through the vast stinking maze that reminded him of Skavenblight. It made a change from this hideously barren outpost of the Underway he had been forced to occupy since Warlord Scab dispatched him here. He was glad the stupid man-thing had enough sense to contact them about his problem. The guards were potentially a threat to the great plan. Nothing must menace their pawn before they took over the city. He wasn't sure what the great plan was, but that didn't matter. He was a simple and vicious soldier. It was not his place to philosophize on the ways the 13 Lords of Decay chose to order the universe. It was his task simply to kill the enemies of Clan Scab. That was what he intended to do. Felix was worried. It wasn't just the number of rats he had seen. It was the way they followed him that was worrying. He told himself not to be stupid. The rats weren't following him. They were just there, like they always were in the sewers. His imagination was playing tricks on him, as it always did. He gazed round what the other sewer jacks called the Cathedral. It was a major confluence of several of the city's greatest sewerways. It had been designed in a style he thought he recognised from the halls of Carrack Eight Peaks. He called it Dwarf Imperial. The dwarfs who had built these sewers were refugees, he knew. They had fled from the World's Edge Mountains when their lands had become too dangerous. They had come to the human lands, bringing a great store of engineering knowledge and a tremendous nostalgia for their ancestral homes under the mountains. The then Elector of Nul had been an enlightened man. He put their knowledge and skills to good use, improving the sanitation of his fast-growing city. They had responded to the challenge by creating places that resembled great temples rather than sewers. Mighty arches supported masonry that had lasted nearly 1,000 years. Intricate carved stonework adorned the arches, revealing the traditional dwarf hammer and shield designs. The work had been made beautiful in its way, as well as functional. Of course, time had eroded much of it. Coarse patchworks of plaster and brick filled gaps where human repair teams less skilled than the original builders had been at work. But this place, almost directly below the Elector's palace, was a sewer fit for an emperor. Then suddenly Felix saw it. He saw how vulnerable those ancient master builders had made the city. He remembered Gotrek's tale of how the Skaven had attacked Karak Eight Peaks from the direction least expected, from below. The sewers provided a means of access to below any place of importance in the city. Teams of assassins or shock troops could be moved through them by a foe adapted to the darkness. They were a perfect highway for a Skaven invasion. The great walls of Nul would prove no barrier to them. The watchers on the roof of the temples of Myrmidia would notice nothing. The peril to the city was even greater if its own chief magistrate were in league with the Ratmen. The pieces clicked. He knew how von Hallstatt's foes disappeared. They were dragged down into the depths by the Skaven. He would bet anything that a web of access tunnels existed, which gave access to the palaces and walled houses above. If nothing else, a small enough assassin could gain access through the sewage channels, gross as that thought was. The question now was why? Why was von Hallstatt doing it? What did he stand to gain? The demise of his enemies? Perhaps he was a mutant, in league with the forces of darkness. Perhaps he was mad. Felix asked himself whether he could walk away now, knowing what he did. Could he take the offer of a safe job alongside his brothers and leave the second greatest city of the Empire in the hands of its enemies? It was infuriating. There was nothing he could do. No one would believe him if he accused the chief magistrate. The word of a sewerjack against that of the most influential man in the city. And if he revealed who he really was, that would only get him into deeper trouble. He was a known revolutionary and an associate of the dwarf who had slaughtered 10 of the Emperor's own elite household cavalry. No one would be too bothered if the pair of them disappeared. Perhaps it would be best to let things be. It was only then, as he came to his decision, that he noticed that the rats had vanished and the sound of soft padding could be heard behind him.
"We're being followed, Manling," Gotrek said quietly. "Several groups, one behind. Two taking tunnels parallel to us. There's more up ahead."
Followed? By what? Felix had to force his words out. His throat felt constricted, and his voice was barely louder than a whisper.
Skaven?
Yes. We're going to be ambushed. Our scuttling little friend should be quieter. Dwarf ears are keen.
What can we do?
Fight bravely, and if need be, die heroically, Manling.
That's all very well for you. You're a slayer. The rest of us aren't quite so keen to get ourselves killed. Gotrek glared at him contemptuously. Felix felt the need to find an excuse for his fear.
What if it's an invasion? Someone has to warn the city. It's our duty. Remember the oath we swore when we joined the watch?
He could see this made an impression on the troll slayer. Dwarfs were always impressed by talk of duty and of oaths.
You have a point, Madeline. At least one of us should get away and warn the city. Best talk with the others and make up a plan.
Zarkuel saw that his prey had stopped. They were huddling together in the passage and talking in low tones. He knew they were afraid. It had finally dawned on even their dim man-brains that they were being followed. He knew the righteous fear that the true Skaven warrior inspired in most humans. He had seen the look of cringing horror in many a human eye. The terrifying majesty and dignity of the Skaven form filled the man-things with awe. He stood taller and preened his fur with his tongue. At times, looking in the polished mirror of his shield, he almost understood their feelings. There was no denying he cut an impressive figure, even among the regal forms of his fellow high-ranking Skaven. It was only proper that Man-Thing should be suitably impressed by the master race. He gestured for his storm vermin to halt. He would allow his victims a minute's grace to fully savour their fear. He wanted them to understand the hopelessness of their position. Perhaps he might even allow them to beg for their lives. Some victims did. He knew it was a tribute to the impressive bearing he mustered.
Host leader, should we not attack now? Maim slay the man thinks while they're in confusion,
Claw leader Gazat asked. Zarkival shook his head. Gazat had showed his true lack of understanding of the finer points of strategy. He thought it better to simply attack, rather than wait for the correct moment when their foes were paralysed with fear. The host leader twitched his tail indulgently.
No, no. Let them know fear. When they spray musk and know hopelessness, then we shall charge.
Zarkuel could see that Gazat was dubious. Well, let him be. Soon he would see the superiority of his leader's tactical knowledge for himself.
Host leader, they come back to our path. Doubtless they flee in panic terror. Prepare to meet them with fixed weapons.
The ledge here was wide enough for two Skaven abreast. The storm vermin took up position, their pole arms braced to meet the charge. Zarkuel waited expectantly. Triumph filled his heart as the terror-struck man-things confronted his elite warriors. So full of fear were they that they did not even stop their headlong rush. Blind panic drove them to throw themselves onto the blades. Surely it was only luck that allowed the sweep of the dwarf's hatchet to chop through both weapons. Yes, he could see more clearly now. The dwarf was so scared that he frothed at the mouth like a clan rat with rabies. He howled fearful prayers to whatever gods he worshipped. He knew he was doomed. Still, in his terror, he was doing terrible damage, as panic-stricken brutes often did. One blind swing clove the head of a trooper. The frantic thrashing of his axe knocked two trusty storm vermin into the channel of the sewer. If Zarkuel had not known better, he would have sworn that the Skaven had leapt into the filth to avoid the blade. Surely not. A tall, blond-tufted man-thing had joined the dwarf. He fought with a certain precision. A thrust from his short sword took another Skaven in the throat.
No,
this wasn't happening. Four of his best warriors had gone down, and the man-things had not even taken a casualty. The furless ones had been lucky. He was filled with pride as more brave storm vermin leapt into the fray. Now he felt certain that victory would be his. The man-things just didn't know it. They kept coming. More worthless vermin fell before their weapons. Zarkuel knew that he had been betrayed. Instead of elite storm vermin, he'd been sent useless clan rats. Some cunning enemy back in Skavenblight must have arranged it to discredit him. It was the only explanation of how two puny surface dwellers could chop through half a dozen Skaven's so-called warriors without taking a cut. Zarkuel steeled himself to face the foe. He, at least, was not afraid to face the dwarf's hatchet or the man's sword. He was a host leader. He knew no fear. It was simply excitement that made his tail twitch and his muscle glands swell, as the dwarf painted the sewer wall with blood with a flick of the small axe. Zarkuel knew he could take any man-thing, but he decided to hang back as Clawleader Gazat tackled the dwarf. He wanted to study his foe's fighting style to best advantage. It was certainly impressive the way that the dwarf caught the flying Skaven by the throat and dashed his brains out against the ledge floor. It definitely wasn't terror that made Zarkuel fling himself into the sewage when he confronted the foaming-mouthed berserker. It was just that he knew that this was not the correct time to fight. It would be more elegant to take the foe off guard, by surprise, say, when they were asleep. Less wasteful of Skaven lives, too. He would tell Thankwell this as soon as he had finished his swim. They were after us, weren't they? Felix said, glancing around worriedly. He dabbed at some of the blood on his face and inspected the tips of his fingers distastefully. He was not surprised to learn that Skaven blood was black.
Don't be foolish, manling. Why would they be after us?
Felix was getting annoyed at people telling him not to be foolish.
Well, doesn't it seem odd that we managed to go for 2 weeks without meeting a single thing down here, then barely 2 days after you killed that Skaven, we're ambushed?
Come to think of it, it's only one day after I saw von Hallstatt at the Golden Hammer. Perhaps he recognised me. Gotrek flicked his hatchet forward. Black blood speckled the ledge where the droplets fell.
Manling, he couldn't recognise you. For a start, you were dressed differently.
and you were behind the lantern that Gant shone on him. All he could make out would be your outline. That's if he saw anything at all. Most likely he was too busy running.
It slowly sank in what Gotrek had said, or rather what he hadn't said. He hadn't questioned the fact that Felix had seen von Hallstatt at the Golden Hammer. The other sewerjacks came back from inspecting the bodies.
"Good work, you two," said Hef. "You can certainly fight."
"Might have left us some, though. I thought there was some coming up behind us, but they seemed to stop when you two got stuck in.
Probably scared them away."
"Well, let's take a body and show it to the watch captain. Maybe they'll believe us this time."
"Right-o, young Felix. You going to carry it?"
Felix kept his mouth shut as he bent to lift the smelly, furry carcass. Even amid the stink of the sewers, the smell of the corpse was offensive. Felix was quite pleased when, halfway back to the watch station exit, Hef offered to take a turn carrying it.
"And you say that there are rat men below the city, brother? In the sewers, even?"
Looking around the dining chamber of Otto's house, Felix found it easy to understand his brother's incredulity. Everything here seemed solid and safe and unthreatening. The expensive brocade curtains shut out the night just as effectively as the high walls enclosing the garden shut out the city. The solid teak furniture spoke of wealth based on a firm foundation of prosperity. The silver cutlery, different for each course, reflected an ordered world where everything had its place. Here, in his brother's stone-walled house, it was hard to recall details of the nightmare battle he had fought that morning. "Oh, yes." As he said it, he saw again the snarling, feral rat face of the skaven he had killed. He remembered the bubbles of bloody froth blowing from its lips. He felt its stinking weight press against his body as it fell. He forced the memory back and concentrated on the goblet of fine Paravonian wine his brother had placed before him.
"It seems almost impossible to believe, even though you do hear rumours."
"Rumours, Otto?" The merchant looked around. He got up and walked around the chamber, making sure each of the doors was securely closed. His Bretonian wife, Annabella, had retired to her chambers, leaving the two men to talk business in private. Otto returned to his seat. His face was flushed from the wine. Candlelight flickered off little beads of sweat on his face.
"They say that there are mutants in the sewers and goblins and other monsters."
Felix smiled at his brother's seriousness. Otto was telling this to a sewerjack, as if it were a great secret.
"You may smile, Felix, but I've talked to folk who swear it's true."
"Really?"
It was hard to keep a note of irony from his voice. Otto didn't notice it.
"Oh, yes. The same folk who swear that there's a great mutant undertown called the Night Market. They say it's on the edge of the city, in an abandoned graveyard. It's frequented by followers of certain depraved cults."
"Slaanesh worshippers, you mean?" Otto pursed his lips primly.
"Don't use that word in my home. It's cursed unlucky, and I don't want to attract the attention of the Dark Powers, or their followers."
"Unlucky or not, these things exist."
"Enough, brother."
At first, Felix found it hard to believe his brother was serious. He wondered what Otto would say if he told him that he had once witnessed a Slaaneshi orgy on Geheimnisnacht. Best not to, he decided. Seeing his brother's serious, fear-filled face, he realized quite how large the gap between them had grown. Could he really once have been as sheltered as his elder brother, shivering and fearful at the mention of a dark power about which he knew not the slightest thing? He had to admit that it was perhaps possible. He began to understand how the cultists got away with it. There was a veil of secrecy drawn over the whole subject in polite society. It wasn't mentioned or discussed. People preferred to believe, or pretend to believe, that such things as chaos cults couldn't exist. If they were mentioned, they didn't want to talk about them. Everyone abhorred mutants and talked about them widely. That was fine. It was easy to pick on visible targets. They provided a focus on which to vent deep-seated unease. But bring up the fact that normal, supposedly sane folk might be interested in the worship of the Dark Ones, and a door was slammed in your face. The playwright, Detlef Sierck, had been right when he wrote, "Ours is a land chained by silence. Ours is a time when the truth goes unspoken." People just didn't want to know. Why, Felix did not understand. Did they honestly think that pretending a problem did not exist would make it go away? The watch captain today had looked at the body and could not deny its existence, even though he had obviously wanted to. He was forced to report the matter to a higher authority. A sudden chill ran through Felix when he recalled who had come to collect the corpse for examination. They were men from the office of Chief Magistrate von Hallstatt. Felix wondered if the body of the dead Skaven would ever be seen again. "Tell me more about von Hallstatt," Felix asked. "Where does he live?" Otto seemed glad to change the subject.
"His father was a minor noble, killed in one of the peasant uprisings in the early 70s. He studied for the Sigma Rite priesthood, but was never ordained. There were hints of a scandal, something to do with spying on the nunnery. He is efficient. He's said to keep files on everyone, and his enemies disappear mysteriously."
Felix fell silent. A pattern had emerged. He believed he understood what had happened. It would take a little checking, though. He would make a start early tomorrow.
"You say he lives nearby?"
"Two streets away, near the palace, on Emanuelplatz."
"Well, well." Felix leant back in his chair and yawned expansively.
"Oh, well, brother, it's late. And I really must go. I have work tomorrow."
"Very well."
Otto rang the small bell that sat beside his plate.
"I'll have Franz bring your cloak."
"I told your predecessor never to come here," von Hallstatt said, staring at the Skaven with barely concealed distaste. He hated it when anyone else but him entered his filing chamber. "The servants might see you."
The rat man met his gaze levelly. There was something about this one that made von Hallstatt nervous. Perhaps it was the greyish fur, or perhaps it was the strange, blind-seeming eyes. But there was something different about this one. Something scary, almost.
"This one is not as the other man think. Greasier, this one is. Mage Lord, in the service of the 13. Contracted to the clan, but not of it. Important, I see you. Things went badly with the guards. Many Skaven dead."
"But my servants..."
"Worry not, foolish man-thing. They snore sleep. A simple spell."
Von Hallstatt laid down his file. He marked the place with an uninked quill and closed it gently. He let his hand fall near the hilt of his blade. The touch of it reassured him somewhat. He met the Skaven stare and dared it to look away.
"I'm unused to being called foolish. Do not do so again."
The Skaven smiled. It was not calming. For a second, the magistrate felt as if it might leap forward and bite him. He kept his hand on his weapon. With an almost imperceptible shake of its head, the Skaven stopped smiling. It twitched its tail.
"Of course. Sorry. Many apologies, yes. Grieve for the loss of kin. Cost many warp tokens to replace."
"I accept your apology,"
von Hallstatt was reassured. It was obscurely pleasing that even so monstrous-seeming a creature as the Ratman felt a sense of loss at the death of its relatives. Still, he found himself longing for the day when he would no longer have to deal with the Skaven and could have them destroyed. He picked up the file and returned it to its precise place in the proper cabinet.
"The man things are dangerous to our association. Know your appearance, and can pick choose you from others. They must not be allowed to threaten you, or us."
True. The thought was worrying. Von Hallstatt's enemies were legion, and the slightest hint of scandal would be used against him. The treacherous sewerjacks would sell that information to the highest bidder, he felt sure. Their lack of loyalty to the cause of humanity sickened him. They deserved to die. And to think he had once felt sorry for them.
"They must die."
"Yes, yes. And you must show us where to find them."
"That is straightforward enough. I had their watch captain interviewed today."
He opened a new cabinet and pulled out a slim dossier.
"Here is my file on them."
"Good, good. Soon they will all die down."
Once safely back in the sewer, Greysir Thankwell cursed to himself. He was tired of dealing with morons like Zarkuel and the man-thing von Hallstatt. He would have preferred to have been back home in his warm burrow in Skavenblight, surrounded by his breeders and with a few captive humans to run through his maze. He missed the beautiful rotting aroma of the swamps, and he was worried about the intrigues which might be taking place against him in his absence. He hated working with the idiot Zarquel, who could not even carry out the simple assassination of 5 man-things properly. The thought of the host leader's chittering excuses made Thankwell want to bite his own tail with anger. By the 13, it was true. If you wanted a bone gnawed properly, you had to gnaw it yourself. No sense entrusting vital tasks to the likes of the useless host leader. Still, his masters had assigned him to Zarquel's clan, and he was obliged by the binding oaths of his order to implement and expedite their plans. And this one was sound. It resounded to Clan Scab's credit in the great game being played back in Skavenblight. He could see that, foolish though he was, von Hallstatt represented a valuable agent to have in place. Of all the humans he had ever met, the spymaster thought most like a Skaven. A very stupid Skaven, admittedly, but still a Skaven. He was easy to manipulate due to his strange jealousy of and attraction to the breeder Emmanuel, prepared to believe anything so long as it was connected to her. Imagine thinking that the Skaven used the city's rats as spies. Foolish man thing. However, von Hallstatt had proven useful in removing those who might prove to be a threat to the long-term plans of the 13, and he was an adroit and effective collector of the warp stone, so necessary for the continued research plans of the seers.
Yes, yes.
It would be wise to resist the urge to slay the man-thing. He was more useful alive than dead, at least until the great day came, and humanity writhed beneath the talons of the Skaven once more. Thankwell easily deciphered the strange scratch marks humans called writing. He had trained all his life for this. The study of mankind and its arts were his particular forte. Von Hallstatt had thoughtfully attached the maps showing the closest sewers to the victims' dwellings. The man-thing was not entirely incompetent. How convenient. 2 of the man-things dwelled together in an easily accessible place. He would start with them.
Come, come, Bone Ripper. I have work for you this night,
Thankwell squeaked. The rat ogre growled its assent from the shadows. Enormous claws slid smoothly from their sheaths at the prospect of food. Hef was lurching drunkenly down the muddy side streets when he heard the sounds of a struggle coming from the hovel which he shared with Gilda and his brother. He knew he shouldn't have stayed in the tavern for that last pint with Gotrek. If Big Jax and his men had returned for vengeance while he was away, he would never forgive himself. The hook knife felt cool and reassuring in his hand. He wished he were more sober, but that was not to be helped. He broke into a trot and almost immediately tripped over a pile of rotting garbage in the path. At night, without street lighting, the new quarter was a death trap. He picked himself up and set off more carefully along the lane. As he recalled, there was an open sewer near here, and it wouldn't do to fall in. He heard Gilda scream, and all thought of caution vanished when the scream ended in a moan of pain. He ran, scrabbling over the garbage, knocking over a pile of muck. He knew that no one else but him would answer a scream for help in Cheap Street. It was that sort of area. Flames started to leap skyward over the hovel. Someone must have knocked over a lamp in the struggle. He heard a feral snarl from within the hut. Maybe Jax had brought his tame war dogs, as he had threatened. Hef covered the open ground near the entrance in one final spurt. By the light of the flames flickering within, he could see that the door had been ripped off its hinges. Something moved within. His brother met him at the door. Spider opened his mouth and tried to speak. Blood gushed forth. Hef caught him as he fell forward. As his arms met round his brother's back, he felt the hole and the great soft mass of the lungs pumping through it. Spider moaned and was still. It was a nightmare. He had returned home, and his home was in flames. His brother was dead. No, that could not be. He and Spider had been inseparable since they could walk. They had served on the same fishing boat, stolen the same money, ran off together to the same city, lived with the same girl. They had the same life. If Spider was dead, then... Hef stood absolutely still. Tears streamed down his face as the monstrous shape emerged from the ruins of the burning hut and loomed over him. The last thing he heard was the sound of chittering from behind him. Felix was up bright and early. He made his way down the muddy streets of the new quarter, ignoring the pall of smoke that rose from the shantytown near Cheap Street. Another fire, he supposed. Well, he had been lucky. The wind had not fanned the flames in the direction of Frau Zorin's tenement. If they had, he might have died in his sleep. And he couldn't afford to die just now. He still had things to do. He turned left down Rotten Row and hit the cobbled streets of Commercial Way. Coaches clattered past as merchants made their way to the coffee houses before starting business for the day. He found his way to the Hall of Archives and made his way to the division of the planning office with responsibility for sewers. He knew he would find what he needed there. 3/4 of an hour, much browsing through ancient, dust-covered files and plans, 2 threats and 1 bribe later, he had proven himself to be correct. Pleased with himself, Felix made his way to the watch house. They were instantly assigned to help out the rest of the watch in the area that had burned, burying the dead, searching the rubble for the living. They marched up to the shantytown to take a look. The fire had ripped through many hovels. The burned and the disfigured dead were everywhere. A little boy, his face blackened by soot, sat near an old woman who whimpered quietly to herself. "What happened here, son?" Felix asked.
"It was the rat demon that did it," the boy said.
"I saw it myself. It killed the men who lived there and carried them below to feast. Mars says it'll come for me next if I don't behave."
Felix exchanged looks with Gotrek. Savage interest was evident in the troll slayer's one good eye. "There's no such thing as rat demons, lad. Don't lie to us. We're with the watch."
"There is two. I saw it with my own eyes. It was taller than you and heavier than that big one-eyed dwarf. It was led by a smaller rat man with grey skin and horns on its head."
"Did anyone else see it?"
"Don't know. I hid. I thought they might take me too."
Felix shook his head and went to check the ruins of Heffen Spider's hut. There was little left of the pitiful building, save the burned-out remains and the charred corpse of a woman. No sign of Hef or Spider. Gotrek shook his head and pointed with his toe to something grey and sharp lying in the ashes.
"That's Hef's knife."
Felix bent and picked it up. The metal was still warm from lying in the embers. Felix looked at the corpse. The smell of burnt meat filled his nostrils. "Gilda," said Felix. Felix shook his head. Sorrow and rage filled him. He had liked the brothers. They had been good men. Now he wanted vengeance. "You were an engineer once, Gotrek. Tell me what these mean." Felix ignored the troll slayer's incredulous look. He cleared a space on the table in the watchroom and spread out the charts. Rudy watched curiously as he smoothed the cracked old parchment flat and weighed down each corner with an empty tea mug. The slayer gave his attention back to the papers.
"These are charts of the sewers, mumbling. Dwarf made plans of the old quarter."
"That's correct. They show the area beneath Chief Magistrate von Hallstatt's mansion. If you look closely, you'll discover that it's not too far from the place where Gant was killed. I'd also bet if we looked, we'd find a way up from the sewers to his house." A frown creased Rudy's low brow.
"You're suggesting that we break into Fritz von Hallstatt's house? We'll be hung if we're caught. We might even lose our jobs."
"That would be a pity. What do you say? Are you in, Rudy?"
"Well, I don't know."
"Gotrek?"
"Yes, Mumbling. With one provision."
"What's that?"
"If von Hallstatt is the chaos-worshipping, skaven-loving snotling fondler we saw in the sewer, then we'd kill him."
An appalled silence hung over the chamber. The import of the troll slayer's words sunk into their brains. Felix felt his mouth go dry. What the dwarf was suggesting was murder, pure and simple. No, he decided, thinking of Gant and the dead in the new quarter, it wasn't murder, it was justice. He'd go along with that. "Fine. There's no backing out, then. Rudy?" The bald-headed man looked shocked. His face was pale and fear was in his eyes.
"You don't know what you're suggesting."
"Are you coming with us or not?" Rudy didn't answer for a second.
"Yeah," he said at last. "I'll come. I just hope you're wrong, that's all."
"I'm not," Felix said.
"That's what I'm afraid of."
The sewers had never seemed so ominous to Felix. Shadows danced away from the lantern light. Every time he heard Rudy's heavy tread behind him, he had to fight the urge to look around. The sound of the slayer continually tapping the walls with his hatchet blade was getting on his nerves. He knew that Gotrek was only doing it to see if he could find a hollow area, but that did not make it any easier to take. Something was out there. He knew that now. Something had killed Hef and Spider and their girl, too, and it would surely kill the rest of them if they let it. It was the not knowing that was so terrifying. Not knowing what it was that hunted them. Not really knowing why. Not knowing how many Skaven might appear, nor what demonic henchmen they might have. The brothers had been formidable fighters, and they were gone. Worse, half of the Cheap Street shantytown had gone with them. Whatever dark thing sought them had no qualms about killing a lot of people to get the ones it wanted. He asked himself why he had not simply fled the city-state. He could be on the road even now, not creeping about in this dark, smelly stinkhole. Why did he have to be cursed with this urge to interfere in what was really none of his business? He already knew the answer. He had to take a stand somewhere, for something. Because if he did not, he would be exactly like his brother, Otto, and all the others like him, pretending that he did not know what was going on, making deals with the darkness so that it would leave him alone, pretending all was right with the world when he knew that it wasn't. Knowing that something was wrong meant that he had to do something about it, even if the only reason for doing it was to keep his self-image intact and allow him to feel superior to those he despised. And if that made him feel a little more like the heroes he used to read about when he was young, well, so much the better. Thinking about his reasons kept his mind occupied and allowed him to forget his fears. He made himself concentrate on what he knew. The only real need he had was that he knew that the head of the city's secret police was in league with the Skaven. He had seen it with his own eyes. He did not know why such a thing should be. He only knew that it was so, and that it should be stopped.
Stop daydreaming, Manling. We've been down here for hours, and we still haven't found this secret entrance of yours. It'll soon be dark up above, and we're still no further forward.
Felix gave his attention back to scanning the walls. From up ahead, the sound of Gotrek tapping the brickwork with the blade of his hatchet continued. Thankwall stared around the darkened room. He felt exposed here in the surface world, so high above the ground. He gazed out through the single window and then looked at the straw pallet. Bone Ripper stood hunched near the doorway, flexing his great claws. They had stood here in the dark for nearly 2 hours, and still there was no sign of their prey. He lashed his tail in frustration. Where was the stupid man thing? Why wasn't he home in bed where he should be? They were all the same, frittering away their time in drunkenness and debauchery. They deserved to be replaced by the master race. He swore that he would make this particular man thing pay for wasting a Grey Seer's valuable time. He didn't have any more time to waste. He had to meet with von Hallstatt and check on the arrangements that had been made for the Countess's homecoming ball. Soon it would be time to reveal to him that Emmanuel's guest, the Emperor's own brother-in-law, was secretly a mutant, and, worse yet, the Countess's latest lover. The fact that neither of these things were true was not in the slightest bit important. What was important was that when von Hallstatt had the Graf kidnapped and tortured, word of it would be released. War would come between Nuln and the rest of the Empire. The Emperor could not stand for the insult of his own brother-in-law being tortured by the Elector's secret police. Civil war would erupt. The greatest kingdom of mankind would be thrown into anarchy. The power of the Skaven would grow. The thought so excited Thankwall that he had to take some powdered warpstone snuff to calm his nerves. The drug bubbled into his brain and filled him with delightful visions of torture, bloodshed, and agony. The sound of footsteps coming up the stairs brought him out of his reverie. He nodded to Bone Ripper. There was a tentative knock on the door.
Herr Jaeger, it's me, Frau Zorin. Rent time!
Before Thankwall could countermand him, Bone Ripper threw open the door and dragged the old woman inside.
Herr Jaeger, there's no need to be so rough!
They were Frau Zorin's last words, before Bone Ripper tore her throat out. Well, at least he wouldn't have to feed the rat ogre for another 3 hours, thought the Grey Seer. He waited for Bone Ripper to finish his meal.
Come, come. We have business elsewhere,
he told him. They headed for the sewers and their meeting with von Hallstatt.
Success, Manling!
Gotrek exclaimed, and tapped again to make sure. He nodded his head smugly.
I found the passage or my mother was a troll.
I wouldn't bet against that, thought Felix, but kept the thought to himself. He watched as the slayer set down his hatchet and began to run his fingers around the brickwork.
Nice bit of work, this. Well concealed. Probably dwarf, I'd say. No wonder I missed it the other day. The git must have paid a dwarf crew to dig his bolt tunnel and then sworn them to secrecy. Now, if I'm right, there should be...
His stubby, powerful fingers pushed against a single brick. It sank into the wall. There came a quiet grinding sound, as of perfectly balanced counterweights shifting. A section of the wall slid back. Felix saw a small vestibule and a metal ladder leading up. Gotrek turned and smiled, revealing his missing teeth. He looked genuinely pleased.
Very nice work indeed. Bugger must have outdistanced me. Turned that corner and ducked in. No wonder I couldn't find him. My eyes were still stinging from the gas, too.
There's no need to make excuses, Gotrek, Felix said.
No excuse, Manling. I just want...
Are we going to stand here all night, young Felix, or are you going to go up and take a look around?
Rudy interrupted.
Me?
Well, all this was your idea.
Felix saw the unease written on Rudy's face. The big man was scared by the prospect of burgling so important a citizen's home. Not surprisingly, thought Felix. He's a watchman. He spent the last 10 years catching criminals, not being one.
Are you going to do it, Manling, or should I?
The thought of the troll slayer clumping around upstairs galvanized Felix into action. He remembered Otto's words about there being Templars of the White Wolf on guard above. He didn't relish the prospect of being discovered by them.
I'll take a look first, he said, and I'll let you know if it's safe.
Felix held his breath and glanced around. The ladder emerged in another small chamber with a single door. This led out into a large wine cellar. Looking back, Felix saw that the door was attached to a wine rack, so that when it was closed, it was virtually invisible. Felix checked a label on one of the bottles. He blew away dust to reveal the emblem of one of the best Paravonian vineyards, Descoul. Someone has expensive tastes, he told himself. He turned swiftly, reaching for his sword, when he heard the ladder creak behind him. Gotrek's head poked round the edge of the doorway.
Don't wet yourself, Manling, it's me, he said.
Rudy emerged from behind him.
Right, let's check the house and see if we can find our friend the Chief Magistrate. Not much noise above. The place sounds empty.
Let's hope so.
Well, I'll stay here, Rudy said, and make sure your line of retreat is covered.
Felix shrugged. It was probably better than having the big man blundering about up above.
You do that.
Felix made his way cautiously to the foot of the stairs, keeping his lantern to the narrowest aperture so that only the faintest glimmer of light showed.
Told you so. The house is empty, Gotrek said.
Felix had to admit it looked like the dwarf was right. Where were the White Wolf guards? Where were the servants?
The guards are most likely at the gatehouse, but where are the servants? A place this size should have some.
You'd know about that, I suppose.
Yes.
Felix gently put his foot on the stairs. A shiver ran down his spine as it creaked under his weight. He paused and held his breath. No one came to investigate.
Why are you being so quiet, Manling? There's no one here.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's not my house. I feel like a criminal. Why are you whispering?
You are being a criminal, so am I. Let's search this place and see what we can find. You take upstairs, I'll take below.
It was only after he padded off near silently that Felix noticed that Gotrek was moving stealthily too. Felix moved on up the stairs, hoping that they would not creak. In the bedroom, Felix closed the aperture of his lantern completely before sliding aside a curtain and looking outside. He glanced down into a large walled courtyard, and he could see over the high walls into the street beyond. A large gate opened into the courtyard. On the left of the square was a stable and coach house. On the right was a small barracks and a privy for the servants. Old oak trees lined the square. There were sentries, tall blond men in full armour, white wolf pelts draped round their shoulders. One paced from the gatehouse across the courtyard. For a moment Felix feared that the man might be coming inside, but he soon turned off and headed towards a small barracks next to the stables. Slowly Felix let the curtain slide back into place, and then he allowed himself to exhale. No, it wouldn't do to get caught here. The white wolves had a reputation for ferocity that equaled that of a slayer, and there were at least half a dozen of them out there. The most appropriate thing to do, when he found the locked door, was to force it. He jimmied it open with the blade of his short sword and went in. He found himself in a place that reminded him of the ledger hall in his father's warehouse back in Altdorf. It was a big room, dominated by an oak desk, large enough to hold a party on. The walls were lined with filing boxes, hundreds and hundreds of them. He opened one at random and pulled out a thick sheaf of papers written in a precise hand. Glancing through it, he came upon the name of the Countess and notes referring to several of her better-known lovers. There was an extensive section dealing with suspected mutation in her family. Many sources were quoted. What drew Felix's attention were the references to our most special source and our friends down below. He picked up another file and went through it. There were similar notes. One referred to the need for a certain Slazinger to disappear. The files were sorted alphabetically. He couldn't resist it. He sought out the one on the Jaeger family. After finding one concerning a family of bakers on Cake Street who shared the same name, he got his own family file on the second try. Felix felt his stomach lurch when he came across references to the merchant house of Jaeger and Sons. The file remarked on how amenable his brother Otto was, and noted that he was a sound man who gave generously to the Elector's Fund for the maintenance of civil order. As he flipped the page, he saw his own name mentioned. He read on. Thankwell noticed that the secret entrance to von Hallstatt's had been disturbed almost as soon as he entered. There was a strange man-scent in the air of the chamber at the foot of the ladder. Several man-scents, in fact, and something that smelled like dwarf.
"Fall, fall,"
he cursed inside, gnawing at the tip of his tail. The spymaster had been discovered. It didn't take the application of a mind as clever as Thankwell's to work out by whom. He had two man-things and a dwarf left to kill. Well, the man-things had saved him the bother of tracking them down. Their desire to meddle in business that was not theirs would prove to be their undoing. He nodded to Bone Ripper and chittered his instructions. The ladder groaned under the weight of the rat ogre. It swarmed up the rungs as agile as an ape. Felix shook his head. He was referred to as a spendthrift younger son who had vanished under mysterious circumstances. There was a line devoted to his duel with Krasner and a hastily scribbled memo in pencil to the effect that a further investigation should be conducted. Well, perhaps there were worse things to be than the black sheep of the Jaeger family. Perhaps he should show Gotrek. Maybe there was something in the files about the Slayer, too. He was just about to look when he heard the door open down below. Damn, he thought, closing the chamber door. He'd have to wait. Von Hallstatt knew he was running late. He hoped the Skaven was, too. He deplored giving the wrong impression, even to a brute like the Skaven. But Emmanuel was due back tomorrow, and he wanted every little detail of her household to be perfect. He imagined the smile with which she would reward his diligence, and knew that all his care had been worthwhile. Even if he had been forced to waste 15 minutes punishing that young footman for his clumsiness in setting the paintings. The flogging had left the magistrate tired and sweaty, and in need of a bath. He picked up a house lantern and lit it. The gloom rushed away from him. Von Hallstatt was going to call a servant to draw some water, when he recalled that he had given them all the night off, because the Skaven was coming. He would have to forego the pleasure of a wash until later. The Skaven's tidings were more important. Before departing last night, he had intimated that his agents were about to ferret out a particularly important mutant plot. Von Hallstatt had to admit he was far more concerned with the assassination attempt on the sewer jacks. He knew that Hef and Spider were dead. His agents had reported on the fire in Cheap Street. That had been a neat bit of work, disposing of 2 traitors and 50 riffraff at the same time. Come to think of it, perhaps the rat man had inadvertently provided a solution to another problem. Perhaps he could have fires set across the new quarter. That would certainly cut down on the numbers of mutant-worshipping scum who dwelled there. The thought of burning the dregs of society out of their festering sinkhole of vice warmed the cockles of his heart. He took the stairs 2 at a time and rushed down the corridor to his filing room. But his heart sank when he saw the door had been forced. Anger filled him. Someone had desecrated his sanctum. After Emmanuel, his beloved files were the most important thing in his life. If someone had harmed a page of them... He drew his sword and pushed the door open with his foot. A lantern shone in his face. "Good evening, von Hallstatt," a cultured voice said. "I think you and I have some business." As the chief magistrate's eyes grew accustomed to the illumination, he recognized the face of the young man he had seen with Otto Jaeger the other night.
"Who are you, whelp?" he asked.
"My name is Felix Jaeger. I am the man who's going to kill you." Rudy had never seen so much wine before. It was everywhere in the cellar. Old bottles covered in a thick layer of dust and cobwebs, newer ones with only the slightest gilding of dirt. There was so much of it, he wondered how any one man could drink it all. Maybe if he had plenty of guests, he supposed. What was that noise? Probably nothing. It would be best to pretend there was nothing there. Ever since they had found the rat man in the sewers, nothing had gone right. Perhaps he could hide. But there was no place into which he could squeeze his large frame. He should go back to the top of the ladder and take a look. He was sure he had heard the rungs of the metal ladder creak. Yes, he should. He swallowed and tried to make himself move back to the hidden niche. His limbs responded slowly. It was as if all strength had been drained out of them. His heartbeat sounded loud in his ears. It raced like he had just run a mile. He realized that he had been holding his breath and let it out in a long sigh. The sound seemed unnaturally loud in the silence. He wished Gotrek, or even that cocky young snob Felix, would come back. He didn't like being here on his own, in the basement of a powerful noble whose wealth and influence he could hardly imagine. It was ridiculous, he told himself. He'd spent nearly 15 years, man and boy, in the sewers, hunting mutants and monsters in the dark. He shouldn't be frightened. Ah, but it had been different then. He had been younger, and he'd been with friends and comrades, Gant and the brothers, and the others now dead or gone. The last few days had truly shaken him. The solid foundations of his life had vanished. He was alone, no wife, no children. His last friends had vanished or died. And if young Felix was right, the order that he had sworn to protect, the city's rulers, who he was pledged to defend against all enemies, were the enemy. Life didn't make sense anymore. Wait, there was definitely something moving inside the niche. Something heavy had stealthily pulled itself over the lip of the sinkhole. It was here in the cellar.
"Who's there?"
Rudy asked. His voice sounded weak and strange to him. It was the voice of a stranger. The soft padding footfalls came closer. His lantern revealed the shape as it emerged into the wine cellar. It was huge, a head taller than him and perhaps twice as heavy. Great muscles bulged under its ruddy fur. Long claws slid from the sheaths in its fingertips. Its face was a mixture of rat and wolf. A chilling, malign intelligence burned in its pink, beady little eyes. Rudy raised his club to defend himself, but it was on him with one leap, startlingly swift for so large a creature. Pain flared through Rudy's weapon arm as its great claws bit into the flesh of his wrist. He opened his mouth to scream. He looked up into the pink eyes of death. He felt the breath of the monster on him. It smelled of blood and fresh meat.
"Don't be foolish, young man," Fritz von Hallstatt said.
As he spoke, he put his hand on the hilt of his longsword. He was confident. He was a formidable swordsman, and his opponent had only a short stabbing blade.
"One shout, and I'll have 6 knights of the White Wolf in here. They'll hand me your head.
Perhaps they'll be interested in the fact that you consort with Skaven and keep a ledger of your dealings with them?" Felix's words chilled von Hallstatt to the bone. He didn't know whether the Grey Seer was in the house already or about to arrive. He couldn't risk summoning the knights if that was the case. They were reassuringly anti-mutant, but their zeal also extended to dealing with the likes of the Skaven.
"You don't know what you're talking about, boy,"
the magistrate spat. His blade rung as he pulled it from the scabbard. "I'm afraid I do. You see, I saw you in the sewers the other day. I saw you with my own eyes. I nearly didn't believe them when I saw you again in the Golden Hammer." The young man seemed certain. There would be no reasoning with him. He would have to die. Von Hallstatt let his blade point to the floor as he moved closer. He let his shoulders slump into feet.
"How did you know?"
"I'm a sewer jack."
"You can't be. Sewer jacks don't eat at the Golden Hammer. Not in the company of Otto Ye-"
As he spoke the words, realization dawned on von Hallstatt. Felix Jaeger. Otto Jaeger. The family black sheep. He knew that had been worth looking into.
"What do you want, boy? Money? Preferment? I can arrange for either, but it will take time."
He edged ever closer. The young man had relaxed a little, seeing how cowed he had become. Soon it would be time to strike. "No, I think I want your head." Even as Felix spoke, von Hallstatt struck serpent swift. To his surprise, the young man parried his blow. Steel sparked where the blades met. Felix lashed out with his foot, catching von Hallstatt on the shin. Pain flared in his leg. He only just managed to leap back out of the way as the younger man thrust. He knew he had to keep his distance, to use his longer blade to advantage. They circled and wheeled, moving with the precision of masters as they sought out openings. Blades wheeled and glittered in the shadows of the two lanterns. They moved too fast for the eye to follow, danced with a life of their own, seeking holes in the other's defences. Von Hallstatt allowed himself a snarl of satisfaction as he pinked Jaeger's arm. It turned into a smile as he cut open a nasty gash above the young man's eye. Soon blood would drip down, blinding him. Both breathed hard now. But Fritz von Hallstatt knew that he would win this duel. He could sense it. He would fight defensively for the moment. It was simply a matter of waiting. Thankwell heard the noise upstairs. It sounded like a dance was taking place. Heavy boots slammed into the stone floor. Well, well, he thought. It was fortunate that he had arrived when he did. It would seem that von Hallstatt's enemies had tracked him to his lair and were even now in the process of assassinating him. Assassination had a long and honourable history in Skaven politics, and Thankwell was tempted to let things run their course. It would gratify his sense of petty malice to let the man-thing die. Pleasing, though the thought was, he couldn't allow himself the pleasure. It would interfere too much with the great plan. He kicked Bone Ripper. The rat ogre raised its bloody muzzle from the remnants of its meal. It growled at him. Thankwell glared at it, letting his slave feel his will. Slowly the rat ogre rose. They climbed the stairs out of the cellar towards the battle above. Felix was forced to admit that perhaps this had not been such a good idea after all. He blamed too much watching the plays of Detlef Sierck as a youth. He'd always wanted to